Hello, everybody. I am here today with Ellis Emmett, who is a New Zealand adventurer and documentary maker and all-around inspiring guy that we were connected with before we got to New Zealand, and we got to visit with him in his home a few weeks ago. And he's agreed to talk to us today about passions and dream building and some of the things that he's learned along the way. So hello, Ellis. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you.
Thanks
for making the effort to call, and great to be able to, you know, share something with some other people out there who are like-minded, or at least, you know, attempting to do some pretty awesome things out there.
Yeah, we've got a neat group of people who are really working hard to change some things that are big in their lives, and your story and some of the things that you have fallen into by serendipity and then built out of passion are just things that I think have real value to people in terms of showing them just what's possible for a person in a life. So would you go ahead and tell us a bit about your TV show and who you are and what you do?
So it was a pretty random way how I ended up getting involved in the television industry. And I guess the journey started around 10 or 12 years ago, traveling through Southeast Asia, had a pretty amazing journey of my own. And just by random coincidence, I bumped into a film crew. And I had interest in filming, but not certainly not being in front of the camera, just interest in, I really wanted to reach out and inspire other people. And what better way to do that than with a camera in your hand, or at least through the medium of television. So I bumped into this film crew, got talking, started to tell them a little bit of my journey and some of the things that I'd experienced, some pretty bad things, really, but the bad things always make the best stories, right? So some of those, just very briefly, some of those things were, you know, being held up at gunpoint, and I was once taken to a jail and interrogated, just generally a few other random things that kind of happened. So, yeah, there was some interesting sort of points. From that, they ended up doing this interview with me on the street, which was something this travel show did. It just randomly interviewed the odd backpacker here and there. And what ended up going on from that, we bumped into each other a couple of days later and got talking again. And I offered to guide them out to this temple, very, very remote temple in Cambodia called Bong Melia. And Bong Melia is about 2.5 hours motorbike ride out in the middle of the jungle. We rented motorbikes the next day, and I started guiding the film crew out there. One thing led to another, and all of a sudden I ended up being in front of the camera, which was something very new for me. I'd never been in front of a television camera before, and I guess I was a little bit nervous. So every time they pointed the camera at me, I just started talking about the things that I knew and the fact that I'd spent the last couple of months traveling through Southeast Asia, I guess showed through, because I knew, had picked up a few things myself. And cut a long story short, as we continued to head out towards Bong Melia, the host of the show and the director of the show at that time had a very nasty motorbike accident, and ended up getting thrown into the job of having to try and help this film crew out. And basically the director ended up being very seriously injured. We dragged him back to a medical center, which was very basic, and ended up having to literally be involved in the operation. There was only one other doctor on duty. There was one nurse. She was busy. And so here I am. I'm in a pair of shorts in a third world country, you know, a pair of grubby sneakers and a grubby T-shirt, 35-degree heat, no air conditioning, and I'm holding this guy's head open like a steak sandwich, you know, while the doctor sort of scrapes bits of, well, at the time I thought it was bits of his brain that was coming out, but it turned out later it wasn't. But so anyway, one thing led to another. They offered me a job, and then through that job I ended up traveling filming with this film crew over the next couple of years. And that definitely fueled my passion for filming. That fueled my passion for traveling, and I learned a lot of things along the way. And so through that that one chance encounter, and I guess the action of putting my hand up and volunteering, because that's the thing, we're all interested in things. When you see an opportunity, you've got to put your hand up and say, I want that opportunity, otherwise it'll just pass you by. And so through that, that's led me on a very merry journey around the world. I've just come off about a year and a half filming schedule with a new show that we've recently finished called Descending. Now, this started a play in North America around 6 months ago, and it's just launching into many other countries as we speak, actually. It's coming to New Zealand in about another month.
Is it? Cool. My friends in Canada were so excited about it, and that's actually how I was connected with you originally, was that a friend of mine in Canada loved the show and had contacted you. So I was, when we visited you, I was a bit embarrassed when you said, so I assume you've seen my show, and I was like, no. But I love that you do it.
To be honest, I'm kind of glad you hadn't. That took the pressure off for me. just from that, that chance encounter, you know, amazing things have happened, and the story's a whole lot longer and a whole lot more sort of twisted. There's many sort of twists and turns in the road, but I guess the point to get across with this is, I believe every day, we pass by windows, and those windows come in many shapes and forms. And you've got to be open to not only looking for the windows, but also open to grabbing them as they go past, because it's very easy to go, oh, I'd like to do that. And oh, no, the opportunity's passed. Mm-hmm. Well, you're just not quite sure. I find a lot of people in life let fear hold them back. And a lot of time fear comes from fear of the unknown. Either A, not knowing what to do, or B, knowing what to do but not knowing what the outcome's going to be. And I guess for me, see, my background is not television. It's not anything intellectual. It's my background is more of a physical background, okay? But a lot of physical lessons can be overlapped over the rest of your life. And I've learned so many lessons by being out in nature. When I was a young man, I was a hunter, out in the hills and the mountains, that sort of thing. I gave up hunting many, many, many years ago. And then from that, it led me to a lot of adventure sports, you know.
Okay, so this actually brings me to my next question, because one of the things that the people that are in this course are trying to do is build momentum towards the things that they're passionate about. And in the first module, we kind of talk to people about, okay, so what are your passions and how to define that? And it always surprises me that there are people who draw a total blank.
Yeah.
They do not know what they're passionate about. So can you give us one of the things that, why that blows me away is that when I start listing mine, the list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer, because the more I do and the more I experience, the more things I become passionate about. So give us a quick rundown of, like, what are some of the things that you're passionate about?
Okay. For me, you know, it took me a long time of asking myself that exact same question. I always believe, for young people, it takes a while to figure that out, okay? And you've got to do a bit of soul searching, and quite often you have to try a lot of stuff to figure out what spins your wheels, what makes your heart beat faster. And for me, I think I was probably in my late 20s by the time I got it figured out, but I spent a lot of time asking myself, what do I really want out of this life, you know? Because I wanted to live an amazing life, not for anyone else, but for myself, you know. I wanted to live an extraordinary life. And so I spent a lot of time just asking myself that same question and posing it in many different ways. And so for me, I figured out, I think I was probably around 26, 27, thereabouts, and I really figured myself out, I think, what really was at my core, you know, what made me want to get out of bed in the morning, you know, and not for something, not a quick fix, but really gave me some long lasting, you know, genuine feeling of worthiness, you know. And so for me, it came down to three things. I love the challenge of adventure. I love feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, I love that feeling of exploration. I love going somewhere that certainly I and most likely know, you know, many other people have never gone before. And, you know, the further off the beaten track for me, the better. And I absolutely love that. I just love that feeling of going, wow, not many people on this planet have seen this, you know, or, you know, and it doesn't even have to, you know, I'm not talking about a world first or things like that. I'm just, you know, I'm talking about the little village that you can only get to either by walking or by motorbike or whatever, that's just way off the beaten track of the main tourist trail. Yeah. You know, even in some of the countries that have heavy tourist traffic, you'll find if you rent a little scooter and you just start driving down some of the small roads, all of a sudden you'll get to places that no other tourists go
that
to.
That's so true. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that I would love people to grab a hold of is sometimes it's just stretching the envelope in small ways. You know, you don't have to jump out of a freaking plane. You just have to rent a scooter and go see some things in the area that are not normal.
Yeah,
exactly. And those create authentic experiences that then, you know, then fuel your passions. Okay, so that's two things. What's your third?
And the last one is the most important one for me, because everything has to be completed by a circle, right? In order to be fulfilling, so you've got to put out in order to receive, right? And so for me, the last one is inspiring others.
Mm.
And I figured out in my late 20s that actually that was a big part of my passion as well. And I figured, in order to go and inspire others, I needed to first go and educate and inspire myself. And so that's what I set out to do on this journey of mine over the last, I don't know how many years now. I guess it started probably when I was in my teenage years. But so it's hard to draw a line when to start actually counting the years. And I'm not going to throw too many years in there, but otherwise I was going to give it away.
I won't tell your age. Don't worry.
Good one, yeah. So, you know, I think for me, I really wanted to go out and live the very best life I could. And part of that is actually helping other people to go out and live the best life that they can. And if I can do that through inspiration, if I can do that through my writing, my books, if I can do it through these television shows, if I can do it through photography, all manner of medias are out there in order to be able to do this. And I get a real thrill out of thinking or even hearing that somebody's overcome a challenge of theirs because they were inspired by me. And it certainly isn't an egotistical thing at all. It's just, you know what? You know how I view life is we're all in the same battle together. You know, we're all just battling through life the best way we can. We all, no, it doesn't matter who you are, but you're facing challenges. You've got issues about your life that you're not happy with. You know, we're all dealing with, you know, shit on a daily basis that we would rather not have to, you know. So just sweep all of that aside and let's get back to basics. And, you know, when you really get to the core of human emotion and what really becomes important in our life or what really is important in our life, and you strip all of that other stuff away, there's actually very few things that are important. And if you can really get to the bottom of that and nail it for yourself, then, you know, the rest of the journey becomes easy after that because you know exactly which direction you're heading in.
It does. And there's so much benefit, I think, to someone contacting you and saying, hey, you helped me forward in this way, because then that adds to your strength to get through the thing that you're getting through that they don't even know about yet, you know?
Exactly.
And I think that's the thing is that, you know, people think, oh, I can't contact so-and-so because they are up on this pedestal, which you create in your own mind. But in reality, it's such an encouragement in both directions if people will just share and make those connections. So everybody listening, you can contact Ellis and tell him how he inspired you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I inspire somebody out there.
Well, you inspired me, right? So that's one.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Quite often you're working blind in this and, you know, like you put a lot of stuff out there and I'm certainly not after feedback. That's not what this conversation is.
No, I know. I'm teasing you.
No, cool. But it's just, you know, you just throw it out there and if it comes back, great. If it doesn't, then it doesn't matter because, you know, I mean, you're not doing it for egotistical reasons in the first place. It's just about putting out there what you want to receive in return. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to talk the talk in order to walk the walk, you know what I mean? Sometimes by saying it out loud, I might be inspiring and encouraging somebody else, but actually maybe me hearing my own voice say it, that's also inspiring me in a way as well. Sometimes when you actually teach, you're actually learning as much as what you're teaching yourself.
I think that's an incredibly salient and important point because, you know, in any dream that you have, it's a journey for yourself. You don't do those things for other people. You do them for yourself. If other people come along with you, then that's fantastic. But I do think that there's something very true about needing to speak the words and say the things and put the things out there that you intend to get back. And that you intend to achieve, because if you keep them all in your own head, it's not the same somehow. You have to put it out there. You have to share it in order for it to happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There's a self-commitment in that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, I'll give you an example. I wrote my first book when I was I started writing it when I was 23, actually. And initially, I'd wanted to write a book for probably since maybe, I don't know, around 1920. And I initially, I thought, well, I don't really have any stories to tell. I just wanted, or at least none that I thought were worthy of telling, you know. Because you know what? Nobody really thinks their own life is that special. Because why? We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, it's the same old face looking back at us that looked in the mirror the morning before, you know. So nobody thinks that they're special, right? So, you know, for me, when I wanted to write this book, I thought, well, maybe I can write a book and tell other people's stories, you know. But then when I thought about it more and more, when I caught up with my friends, all I would do is tell stories about amazing things that happened or bad things that happened or funny things that happened or whatever. And I thought, that's crazy. Why am I going to write other people's stories? I thought, why don't I just give it a go, writing a story for me? And I thought, well, hang on. You know, because of course we always try to sabotage our own ideas. We always try to talk ourselves out of something before we've even done it. Because we have this little parrot that comes up on our shoulder, which, you know, the evil twin that comes out. And so when you know, our conscious brain goes, hey, I've got this really cool idea. You want to hear it? Well, the evil twin comes up and goes, oh, that just sucks. Why do you want to do that? Here's the reason why you can't do it. You know, you'll never make it. You're not committed enough. You don't know enough. Duh, 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 duh. Okay. So that's you know, part of the battle is to basically kill that guy and pop him off. So I wanted to write this book, but I thought, I'm way too young. I haven't had enough experience. When I started actually writing my stories, I realized, well, hang on, I wrote one. I thought, if I can write one chapter, then I can write two. And so I wrote two and so on and so forth. And 3 years later, it took me 3 years.
That doesn't matter, though, because you got it done.
And I lived a few more stories in that 3 years as well, because it also encourages you to get off your ass and go out and live life as well.
Yeah, yeah.
but the point is, I ended up finishing that book, and then not only that, was able to go and have that published, you know. And a lot of people after me came to me and they said, listen, oh wow, you've written this book, that's amazing. You know, I loved the read, or whether they'd read it or not, you know, it didn't really matter. But the point is, I inspired people, and many people came to me and said, I've always wanted to write a book, but I don't think I can, or I don't have enough to tell or whatever. And I said, well, hang on. I said, I thought the exact same thing when I started, you know. And I said, can you write a sentence? They go, yeah. If you can write a sentence, then you can write a paragraph, right? And go, yeah. Well, if you can write a paragraph, then you can write a page. And then if you can write a page, you can write a chapter. And if you can write one chapter, well, why can't you write two? And then if you write two chapters, so on and so forth, why can't you write a book? And that's how I looked at it. And to be honest, and I come back to the start of our interview, like, I've learned so much through adventure. For instance, you know, mountaineering or even my hunting. You know, when I was young, and I don't necessarily condone hunting these days, but when I was younger, we used to go out in the bush for days at a time sometimes, and we'd hunt pigs, and usually the bigger the boar, the better that you'd catch. And sometimes you'd catch a big boar way down the bottom of a horrible gully in New Zealand, thick bush, and this thing would be heavier than you, and you'd look up towards the top, even if you could even see out of the bush. And you'd think, oh, my God, it's like 6 kilometres back to the four-wheel drive, and I can't get the four-wheel drive any closer. And you'd stick it on your back, and you could barely stand up with it. And you'd think, oh, my God, I can never get this pig out whole, you know. And you'd take a step, and you'd be walking up thick, steep bush, and you'd have to hold on to one tree after the other tree and pull yourself up. Sometimes you'd get to a bank and you'd literally have to climb up holding it onto the roots, and you'd have to stop and you'd have to rest. But you know what? Sometimes it might take 4, sometimes it might take 5 hours carrying something that's heavier than you up out of some godforsaken gully. But you know what? If you don't give up, eventually you get there. Now, what I learned in that practical sense, and through that was just one example, but through mountaineering and endurance racing, that sort of thing that I've been involved with over my lifetime, I then just applied that in an academic sense. And the exact same principle applies for writing a book, I applied the exact same principle when I built my house. I applied the exact same principle, for my first video production, and other different things. Every other part of my life, I've just used that same philosophy.
Okay, so that's, again, you provide me with a perfect segue. Thank you very much. So if you were speaking to somebody, because you are speaking to somebody, who is at the very beginning stages of a dream, they have not yet hauled a pig out of the bottom of the gully, in the literal or the figurative sense, they do not know that it can be done. They only see that you have done it, but they don't know that they can do it themselves. If you could tell them three things, what would you tell people at the beginning of that process when they're chasing hard after their first dream, when they don't have the benefit of believing in themselves because they haven't done it yet? What do you say to those people?
Okay, the first thing I'd say that comes to my mind is we are all far more capable of greater deeds than we believe possible.
Amen.
And I believe I believe a lot of people are put off by the journey, the unknown journey ahead of them. A lot of people won't even start on the journey unless they can see all of the stepping stones from point A to point Z.
Because it's scary.
And you think, well, if I don't know all of the different parts that I'm going to face on this journey, what if I've missed a really important part? Well, I don't know how to do this. So when I get to that point, what will I do? Because I don't know. Okay, well, here's my theory. I'm at point A, which is status quo, where I am today and whatever journey I'm about to take. I have this idea, and this is literally happening now with about six different projects that I'm involved in simultaneously, all right? So I have point A where I am today. I have point Z where I want to be. That's my goal at Z, right? Well, if I look down this journey, and which is I'm looking into the future, right, and I'm imagining, okay, so how do I go from point A to point Z? All right, so I can see A, B, and C, right? So I can see the first three steps, all right? D onwards is pretty sketchy. Okay, there's a big gap there. There's a whole lot of steps. I just don't even know what the steps are. All right. I can see HI, and then I can see ST, and then I can see, you know, a few other letters along the way. Well, provided I can see about a quarter of those stepping stones or letters, if you will, from point A to point Z, I just start on that journey. Because you know what? I just have faith in myself that no matter what stepping stone or what challenge I get to between A to Z, I will figure out a solution for the problem when I get to it. If I don't know how to do something, I will find somebody who does, and either A, employ them, or B, if you're broke, you get them to teach you, or you look it up on the internet, or you teach yourself. There'll be a way to find out how to do it, and then to overcome one step or one challenge or one letter at a time. And as you start to go down that journey, what you'll also find is the law of attraction starts to kick in as well. Because as you start to go down that journey, and you start to see more and more windows of opportunity that open up to you, because you become more aware of the direction you're heading in. And that's the thing. If you're not heading in any direction, you think, oh, I don't have any windows. Well, it's because you're not looking for windows. You've got to make a plan of where you're heading in order to start moving. And when you start moving, you'll see more and more and more windows start coming your way.
Yes.
And then it's just about taking advantage of those windows of opportunity. So don't be put off by the unknown.
So lesson one, go for it. Dive in there.
If I can say one thing to anybody out there, it's the most powerful lesson you can ever take away from this, and it's the most powerful thing that you can understand, and that is believe in yourself. You are far greater than what you believe possible. An amen would be good right now.
Amen. What I was thinking of was I hope that he now tells people about the power of yes, because I so enjoyed that part of our conversation at your house.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what I said, but I say pretty much yes to everything. So,
right.
It does mean I spend a lot of times still working at 2 o'clock in the morning when everyone else is either out partying or sleeping or watching TV or whatever. You know what? And those people might think, oh, you know, what are you doing? You're still working. Like, for instance, in the last 2 weeks, In the last 2 weeks, I would say I've been to gone to bed twice before midnight, and my latest night was 3:30 in the morning, and my average night was probably 2 o'clock in the morning. This is working, not just staying up watching movies or whatever, you know. But the and you might think, why? Well, do I want to do with that with my life? Well, no. The point is, I work really, really hard now because of the opportunities that open to me up later. Because in 6 months from now, when I'm sailing around the world, all right, and I'm on holiday every single day, and you're still going to work.
I don't go to work, my friend. I
No,
got over
no,
that
no,
years
no,
ago.
no, no. I'm talking figuratively out there to the audience. No, I know you're not, Jen. But the point is, work really, really hard for the goals that you have. Make sure they're the right goals for you, what you really want. And then when you achieve your goals, everyone else is left wondering, how the hell did he manage to do that? Or she managed to do that? You know, the opportunities are there. I have a great quote which I'd like to share.
Please
And
do.
I don't want to screw it up, so I'm actually gonna I have it written on my wall, which is quite hard. Hell, I'm gonna look. I have to check it. That's hilarious.
He's probably going out in the. Are you going out into the hallway now?
Yeah, I did. I did.
I know what you're going to read. Go for it.
Because you probably wrote
I
it
totally did. Yep.
down. So the quote is, anything that you can ever imagine already exists. All you have to do is connect the dots.
Yes. Very true. Very true. And you know, the thing that Nancy, my partner that does this class with me, the thing she and I are regularly saying is that the only magic in living your dreams, the only magic is in the doing. You just have to get off your ass and you have to do it. And you have to do it every day until it happens and just not accept failure, not accept roadblocks, not accept sickness or bad attitude or whatever it is. You just find a way over it, through it, around it. You keep working. And if it means enough to you, you do it, you do it, you do it. Like you said, till 3 o'clock in the morning if you have to. Because then you're the one posting the picture from, you know, the top of the world. And that makes it worth it.
That just you're just reminding me of another thing that I always believe in as well, and it's going back to that journey, starting at point A, heading towards point Z, which is our goal, and starting out on that journey, not being able to see all of the steps, but just believing that the steps are there, and you will conquer them one after the other when you come up on them, up against them, and the other thing that I always tell myself, and I believe in 100% because I've seen it again and again and again with every single project that I've been involved with. I've actually seen two things. The first thing is I always say to myself, magic will always happen. In other words, when you start on this journey from point A, and you go A, B, C, D, so on and so forth, as you go along that journey, all of a sudden, amazing opportunities will open up in order to assist you on that journey. Or maybe the journey takes a slight tangent. It doesn't matter. You only go on a tangent if it's better than your original plan, right?
That's right.
And so magic always happens. And it's a wee bit, it comes back a wee bit to, when you put positive energy out there and you open up to receiving positive energy back, the law of attraction, it's a little bit like that. And just magic stuff always happens that you could never have pre-thought, pre-planned, saw coming, and all of that sort of stuff, And don't get me wrong, because bad stuff's gonna happen as well. So be aware of that, I mean, because that and that's the second thing as well. And I don't say this to myself, but I'm very aware of it when I start any journey, and that is bad stuff's gonna happen. And at some point, maybe with a big project, many points along the way, I'm going to run right up against a brick wall where I think, well, I throw my hands in the air and I say, well, that's it. The project's screwed. I literally, that's it. I can't, there's no way around this problem. And then you just take a breath, take a moment, and you step back from it, and then you start to look.
And you find a way around the
And you
problems.
find a way. You find a way.
And you know, I think that's one of the things that I would like to make a point of to people is that it's okay to hit that wall and it's okay to have that momentary temper tantrum as long as you then step back, look at the problem, and attack it from a different angle.
If you don't have any walls out there, you're not trying hard enough.
Indeed, absolutely.
If you're not hitting any walls, I would pitch and aim a little bit higher.
Yeah, exactly.
That means you maybe you may be setting your goals a little bit too low.
I agree. All right, so do you have anything you would like to add at the end just to really inspire people further?
Yeah, I do have something else as well. It's another principle that I've learned and developed, I guess, over the time that I guess I've been doing what I do. Whatever the word is that covers that. And it's so broad, I don't think there is one particular word. But, and that's the pyramid principle. I see many, many, many people in life going into life, and especially young people, they want to do something. And they think that they have to start at the bottom of the pyramid, because many structures in life, in our civilization, is in the shape of a pyramid, right?
Right.
So you start at the bottom. So let's just take a job, for instance. Okay. So you start at the bottom. All right. You've been studying. You've left university. You get a job somewhere near the bottom rung of the, you know, the industry that you want to go into, right?
Yep.
Okay, because they don't give out. They don't go, oh, brilliant, you've got great qualifications, come and be the CEO of our company. Well, life just doesn't bloody work like that. So basically, you know, you're starting at a low position, and okay, maybe you've got a bit of education, so you're not there as the janitor, but you're somewhere near the bottom of that pyramid, right?
Right.
And then, and what we're trying to do is we're aspiring to climb the rungs of the ladder up that pyramid, right? But the problem is most other people are as well, because everyone wants more money. Everyone is looking to grow their career. So we have this sort of little internal battle going. And as the pyramid goes up and gets narrower and narrower, people get squeezed more and more. People fall off the pyramid completely, you know, and then at the top of the race, there's a very few people left, and they're getting the highest salaries, the best cars, company cars, and the longest holidays. Yeah, sure, they also probably have the most responsibility as well, but they're obviously rewarded for that. Well, I have another principle, and this is a principle I've lived by, I don't know, probably for the last 20 years. I just probably didn't know it for the first 10. And that is, don't start at the bloody bottom of the pyramid. It just takes too frigging long. It's absolute bollocks. Why would you start at the bottom of the pyramid only to fight and struggle yourself all the way up to the top? My theory is start at the very top of the pyramid. If that's where you want to be, then start at the bloody top and build the pyramid under you. So if you go into a job, for instance, and you fight your way all the way to the top, you can probably expect to take a good 10 or 15 years before all of a sudden you're in a position where actually you're calling some serious shots about whatever industry you're in. Now, maybe it takes 30. Now, maybe you never actually make it.
Right.
Well, here's my theory. You start your own pyramid. And for a start, that pyramid, you're right at the very top of that pyramid. It's just the smallest pyramid known to man.
Yes.
It's a pyramid built of one block, which is you. So you are the CEO of that company. You're also the tea lady and the janitor. And if anybody needs firing, it's your ass. And so, but imagine, if you can for a moment, what you could do in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
How big a pyramid could you build?
Upside down underneath you.
Exactly.
I love it.
And so you start at the top and build down, not starting at the bottom and building up.
Right. I think that's genius.
Or traversing up.
And it just turns the whole world's paradigm about how life is supposed to go right on its ass, and you create life your own way, which completely sums up who you are and how you got to be doing the things that you're doing and why I think you're such a great guy to interview for this project.
Thank you.
Well done, Ellis. Well, thank you so much for your time and for your inspiration and for just reminding me again that I need to keep climbing and keep pushing through my own things and setting the bar higher. And, you know, it's great to rub shoulders with people who are also doers and who live big lives. So thank you for inspiring me that way.
You're most welcome. Absolutely. And to be honest, you know, this is part of what is going to become more and more of my future, and that is, you know, talking to people and really inspiring people to live a bigger life and like you said, raise the bar. And I don't know if I can put a little plug in here. This is actually something that's that's kind of taken shape since you were here visiting me a few months ago or a couple of months ago. And that is we've actually put our project together. I think I might have mentioned it at the time, called Adventure Leadership Expeditions.
Yes.
And that's where we take people out on this this week-long expedition, and we take them completely right out of their comfort zone. We strip away the noise of life, and then as we go down on this expedition, which happens to be a rafting trip in this case, a 200-kilometre rafting trip through absolutely remote wilderness. So when all of the noise of life is stripped away and you get back to the bare basics of life, of what's really, really important, you actually find there's very few things. And that's what we lose sight of in modern day life. There's so much noise, so much activity around us. We think all this stuff is important, but actually 99% of it isn't. So don't lose sight of what's important out there. And and if you're interested in this project, look us up on Adventure Leadership Expeditions.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the plug and I really appreciate the time. And I hope lots of people contact you telling you how inspired they are. And I just appreciate your whole life and your philosophy. So thank you.
Thanks, Jen. And listen, right back at you. I think you're absolutely living this as well. And I think you're an inspiration. You and your family are an absolute inspiration as well.
Well, thank you. We're just doing it for ourselves at the top of our own little pyramid, but it's nice that other people enjoy it as well.
Doesn't matter the size of the pyramid. It only matters that you're at the top.
That's right. Great soundbite. Thank you.
See you later.
Good night.